There's a dear and precious book, though it's worn and faded now, which recalls those happy days of long ago.
Hello. I'm mighty happy to see you all here again. Uncle Julius' study I'm telling about today is on a very interesting subject. Also, it's one that I'm sure all of you have wondered about from time to time. I know I have, and no one has successfully explained it to me. That is, until Uncle Julius did. His explanation, of course, came direct from the Bible, as all his explanations do. Anyway, here's the record that Nettie played to start the evening's discussion.
Neath the stars of the night walk the Savior of light. In the garden of dew-laden breeze, where no light could be found, Jesus knelt on the ground. There he prayed neath the old olive trees. Neath the old olive trees. Neath the old olive trees. When the Savior alone on his knees. Not my will, thine be done, cried the Father's own Son. As he knelt neath the old olive trees.
Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Our Father, we thank thee for the love of thy Son displayed on Calvary. Help us to accept fully the free gift of salvation. Make us useful instruments in thy hand, and at last save us in thy kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. I should like to introduce tonight's subject by playing several minutes of material I have pre-recorded on tape.
You know, I'm always glad to see you bring that tape machine, Uncle Julius. It means we're in for a specially interesting evening.
Well, Carl, it isn't much this time, but it will serve to adequately launch us into tonight's subject. Anyway, within the span of about 40 years, we've experienced two world wars, terrible wars of destruction. Millions and millions of soldiers and civilians went to their graves because of those two wars. More millions were wounded and are still suffering pain and sorrow.
I can't go on any longer.
Besides wars, there have been numerous earthquakes that have brought destruction, death, and suffering. Scarcely a day goes by that somewhere there isn't some sort of horrible accident. A plane falls screaming to the earth. Speeding automobiles crash. Trains collide. All bring their own death, destruction, suffering.
Why did it happen?
Almost every daily newspaper contains the account of horrible crimes of violence. Many people, every day and in every city, are added to the list of the sick and the suffering. Everywhere is pain, disease, sorrow, tears, and suffering. Why? That is my subject for this evening. Why does God allow so much pain and suffering?
I don't think God does allow it, Uncle Julius. Sin and death and pain and suffering are all a product from Satan, not God, aren't they?
That's exactly what we're going to find out before the evening is over. And we're going to begin by reading James 1:17. Nettie, you read it, please.
All right. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh from the Father.
It seems to me that that text proves what Nettie just said, that sickness and death and suffering do not come from God. There are bad things, and only good things come from God.
Anyway, we're agreed, aren't we, that every good and perfect gift comes from God?
Oh,
there's
yes.
No doubt about that.
All right. Now let's see who receives those good and perfect gifts from God. Carl, please read Matthew 5:45, just the last part.
Your Father, which is in heaven, maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust.
Who then receives the good and perfect gifts from God?
According to what I just read, it seems that everyone does, whether they're good or bad.
Do you think the reverse of that is true? Do you think that the good and just, as well as the evil and the unjust, suffer pain and sorrow and death?
I think they do, Uncle Julius.
I think they do too, Uncle Julius, but, well, that's only my opinion. What does the Bible say about it?
Well, Carl, Paul in 2 Timothy 2:9 says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. Paul then suffered trouble right along with the evildoers, and we too can expect the same thing.
It seems to me, Uncle Julius, that sometimes the good people suffer even worse and have more troubles than the wicked people do.
Well, that could well be, Carl. Certainly Jesus himself suffered ridicule and persecution and other things more than other beings do. And Jesus said, as recorded in Luke 9:23, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
Jesus certainly bore a cross all right, and if he did, we should be willing to.
What I want to know is, why? Why must the good suffer along with the bad? For that matter, why must anyone suffer?
Well, Carl, I'm sure there are many answers to that question.
Many answers? Well, how could there be? There's only one truth, isn't there?
Yes, Carl, but the answer to why we suffer is dependent upon what you mean. For instance, I could answer the question by merely saying that Jesus told us to suffer and therefore we must.
But that isn't a complete answer.
It is to some, Carl. Some folks are perfectly satisfied to do exactly as Jesus said without questioning the whys and the wherefores.
Is it right, Uncle Julius, to want to know the reason back of things? Like Carl is wanting to know the reason back of why Jesus said we must suffer?
I think it's perfectly all right, Nettie. So let's find out the reasons why. One of them is found in 1 Corinthians 4:9.
I'll read it. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men.
All created beings everywhere, then, are watching us here on this earth.
But why are they watching us?
We mentioned it, I think, in a former discussion, don't you remember?
I do.
When Lucifer, or Satan, became the prince of this world, in place of Adam, he put his suggested form of government in operation. That included death and suffering and pain, all things bad.
Oh, yes, now I remember. Created beings are watching the results of Lucifer's form of government. And pain and suffering and death are a part of Lucifer's plan.
Are you satisfied, Carl, with that explanation of why Jesus said the good must suffer along with the evil people?
Yes, Uncle Julius. That's what the Bible says, and the Bible is right and true.
It certainly is. And yet it gives several more reasons why we must suffer, and they're all true.
What are the other reasons, Uncle Julius?
Well, one of them is found in Job 23:10.
I'll read that one. But he knoweth the way that I take, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold.
We are led through trials and sorrows to try us and see if we are pure gold.
How do you know that he hath tried me means suffering and sorrow? The text didn't say that that's the way we are tried.
There are many texts to prove that, Carl. But the best one is Revelation 2:10, which says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
But God doesn't need to try us to see if we're worthy of a crown of life, does he? I thought he is all-knowing.
Well, that's right, Carl. But man and angels aren't all-knowing. They have to be shown. And that's where the spectacle part we read about comes in.
Oh, I see.
And still another reason for suffering and pain is found in Hebrews 12:6-7. Carl, please read those two verses.
All right. For whom God loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not?
Nettie, have you ever punished Carl Jr.?
You know I always punish him, Uncle Julius, when he needs it.
Does he suffer pain when you punish him?
If he didn't, it wouldn't do any good.
The same is true with God. He is our father. He loves us. And loving us, he corrects us so that we will grow and develop into men and women worthy to be his sons and daughters.
You know, I never thought of that before.
Well, I see the point all right, Uncle Julius. And for the first time in my life, I understand why we have to suffer.
But we must not think, Carl, that all our suffering is by the will of God. It isn't. Most of it is our own fault. We bring it upon ourselves.
I know you have a text for that, Uncle Julius. What is it? I'll read it.
It's found in Galatians 6:7.
Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Oh, I believe that all right.
Oh, so do I.
Take, for instance, the headache and suffering of the morning after. Well, that's certainly the result of sowing seeds the night before.
You can say that again.
That's very true. This idea of suffering because we partake of alcoholic beverages or eat hard-to-digest food or do something else against nature is the usual interpretation put on that text. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But
isn't that the correct interpretation, Uncle Julius?
Oh, yes, Nettie, as far as it goes. But it goes much deeper than that, and much closer home to most of us than intemperance.
For instance?
Well, I'd like to tell a very short story that will demonstrate what I mean. It's the story of an elderly couple. One evening, this couple was enjoying the quiet comfort of their home when...
I'll see who it is.
All right, Henry.
Oh, I didn't know
this is a stick-up.
Huh? You're fooling.
You heard me. Now get back in there. And hurry up, or I'll let you have it, see? Yeah, that's better. Now, Limpy, close the door.
Okay, Chief.
Chief?
Get over there on the Devonport.
Huh? Is this some kind of a game?
You heard me. We want your money.
You're not serious.
I ain't, huh? Well, one more word out of you and I'll...
This is some sort of a game and...
Oh, what are you do that for? Don't you realize...
You'd better keep still or I'll let you have it like I did her, see? And I ain't fooling.
We'd better get out of here, Chief. Before someone gets nosy about that shot.
No, not yet. We're not leaving till we get the money. It's out in the kitchen in the... never mind. You keep these old fogies covered. I'll get the money. Call the police, we'll come back and get you, see? Now remember that if you know what's good for you.
You'd better call the police, Henry.
No, you heard what he said. Anyway, I've got to call a doctor for you.
No, I'm all right. It's your duty to call the police.
But what if they ask questions?
They will, Henry, but we must do our duty anyway. Call the police.
Well, all right, Emma. If you think it's best.
You say there were two of them, Mr. Jones?
There were, Captain.
How old were they?
Well, one of them was about... he must have been at least 30. The other one was 33.
There comes the ambulance now, Mrs. Jones.
But I don't want to go to the hospital.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Jones, but you'll have to go.
You better go, Emma.
All right, Henry.
Now, Mr. Jones, you say that they took over $1,000?
Yes, sir. We had it hid in the kitchen.
Don't you know it's dangerous having $1,000 around?
Well, we know it now, yes, sir.
The leader, which one was he?
The 33-year-old one.
Can you describe him?
Yes, sir.
Sergeant, take down this information. Now, Mr. Jones, about the leader of the two. You say you can describe him. Have you ever seen him before?
Yes, sir.
You don't happen to know his name, do you?
Yes, sir.
What is it?
Buddy Jones.
Buddy Jones?
Yes, sir. He is our son.
That elderly couple went through much embarrassment, suffering, and real sorrow, all because they hadn't brought up their son properly.
But how do you know it was because they hadn't properly trained their son?
The Bible says so. Proverbs 22:6.
Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
In other words, God promises that if parents will bring up their children in the proper way, they will not depart from it when they get older.
Well, it surely does say that, all right. And that does apply to the Jones.
I can see now that a lot of the suffering and embarrassment some parents go through because of their children is, Well, really, their own fault.
That's right, Nettie.
On the other hand, I know that some hardships do a fellow good. Wakes him up. Shocks him into some sense.
That very thing, Carl, is the next point we're going to take up in this question of suffering. First, however, I want to read a very timely quotation from a favorite author of mine, followed by one of Nettie's records. Here's the quotation. Christ was treated as we deserve, that we might be treated as he deserves. He was condemned for our sins in which he had no share, that we might be justified by his righteousness in which we had no share. He suffered the death which was ours, that we might receive the life which was his. By his stripes we are healed.
Is there anyone can help us, one who understands our hearts, when the thorns of life have pierced them till they bleed? One who sympathizes with us, who in wondrous love imparts just the very, very blessing that we need. Yes, there's one.
Now, Carl, let's consider the troubles and sorrows that, as you said, do us good. The classical example of this kind of suffering is in a story recorded in the 15th chapter of Luke, verses 11 through 32. Here, Carl, you be the narrator of this story. It's all written down on this script. I'll run the tape machine. All right, let's go.
This is a story that Jesus himself told when he was here upon earth 2,000 years ago. Now, in the 20th century, we have a song that pretty well illustrates the theme of this story told so many centuries ago.
Out in the wilderness wild and drear, sadly I've wandered for many a year, driven by hunger and filled with fear, I will arise and go back.
What better way to tell this story than to tell it in Jesus' own words, as found in the 15th chapter of St. Luke? And Jesus spake this parable unto them, saying, A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.
Gus, feed the cows. Cornelius, you feed the sheep.
All right, Father.
Get busy, Gus. Feed the cows.
No, I'm not going to feed the cows.
Son, what's got into you anyway?
I'm tired of feeding cows, hoeing corn. I'm tired of being cooped up here on the farm.
But, son, you're not cooped up.
All I ever hear is do this or don't do that. Other fellows have a good time, but not me. I'm sick of it.
Your mother and I are just trying to bring you up in the way we should.
I'm going away, where I can have some fun. Do as I please.
But, son, you're young, and your mother will be...
I am young, yes. And I want a good time while I'm still young enough to enjoy it.
Where do you plan on going?
I don't know. Just away. The farther, the better.
Soon?
Right away. Today. And I want my share of the inheritance. In cash. Now.
I can't give it to you now. I don't know what your share is, and it's impossible to raise cash on a moment's notice.
Give me as much cash as you can get, and we'll call it square.
Give me a few hours, and I'll get as much cash together as I can.
Thank you.
Here you are, son. All the cash I could get on such short notice.
Okay. Goodbye.
Oh, Custis, dear. You will write to us, won't you?
I don't know. So long.
There, there, Mother. He'll be back.
No, he won't. We'll never see him again. Never.
The younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance on riotous living.
This seat taken?
No. Help yourself.
Nice chariot race, huh?
Not bad. Personally, I like more exciting things.
More exciting than chariot races?
They bore me.
So you're new around here, ain't you?
I came from a distant country.
I thought so. Say, my name's Clancy. Yours?
Just call me Gus.
Well, howdy, Gus. Glad to make your acquaintance.
Likewise, Clancy.
Perhaps you'd like something more exciting now?
Perhaps.
Well, there's things going on down in the clubhouse.
Such as?
Almost anything you want. Games and women, bathing, most anything.
Lead on, Clancy, my friend.
It costs money.
Money? You mean this stuff?
Loaded, huh? You must be a businessman. On a vacation, huh?
No, just loaded.
You're a man after my own heart, Gus. Come on down to the clubhouse. I'll show you some real excitement.
Are you sure we can get in?
Listen, Gus, my boy. With your money and my know-how, we can go anywhere, do anything.
What are we waiting for?
Yeah! What are we waiting for? Come, my loaded friend. We'll spend some of those shillings. It's almost morning. It's getting light over in the east. Ira, go to bed and get some sleep.
Oh, who wants to go to bed?
Haven't you had enough?
I'll never get enough. Fun and excitement. That's what I want.
Well, you spent a lot of money in there tonight.
Who cares? We had fun, didn't we?
Yeah, sure. Lots of fun, Gus.
Well, let's have some more.
We can't. Not now. Things are closed. Besides, we got to get some sleep.
Sleep. A waste of time.
Listen, I'll take you to your inn. Then I'll call for you tonight and we'll go places, huh?
Whatever you say, Clancy, my friend.
Perfect. How do you feel tonight, Gus?
I'm raring to go.
Where?
You name it.
I know a ducky place, but it's expensive.
So what?
Real expensive.
Lead on.
Right. Where to tonight, Gus?
You're the boss.
I know a place on the east side.
Let's go.
How about the Sumerian Club tonight, Gus?
Just the place.
I found another spot, Gus. You'll love it.
Well, let's go then.
This new spot, it's a humdinger, Gus. It's a new spot. The best. It's more expensive than the others. You say you're broke.
Completely.
Well, what became of all your inheritance money?
You spent it.
Oh, I spent it? Well, don't blame me for your extravagance.
You will. Lend me some, won't you?
Lend you money?
Just a few shillings.
I can't.
Please. I don't have any place to sleep. Nothing to eat. Just a few shillings. For friendship's sake.
Friendship?
You claim to be my friend.
Listen, John, be a sucker. I don't like suckers when they're broke. So long.
But I... Serves me right, I guess. I shouldn't have left home in the first place. But I'll never go back. Never, never. I'll starve first. Starve? I'll do just that, too. Unless I can get a job somewhere. I was raised on a farm, ma'am.
But I don't need any more help. And there's a famine in the land. Couldn't pay you even if I did need you. I've got to have work, mister. Please give me a job.
I can't use you, I told you. Now get out.
Please give me a job. I'll work for nothing. Just give me a place to stay and something to eat.
I can't afford to feed an extra mouth.
I'll work for just a place to stay then. I'll get my eats the best way I can.
All right. I'll let you care for the swine in exchange for a place to sleep.
How foolish I am. These swine have more to eat than I do. That corn they're eating, it... No, I won't eat it. I haven't sunk quite that low. Father's servants at home have warm places to sleep and all they want to eat, while I sleep with a swine and have nothing to eat. Say, why not go home? Yes, I will go home. I'll swallow my pride and go. I'll ask Father for a job as a servant.
And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him.
Oh, my son, I'm glad to see you.
Hello, Father.
Your mother will be beside herself with joy.
Father, I'm sorry for what I've done. Please forgive me.
Of course I'll forgive you, son, gladly. And now let's go.
Father, there's something else I want to say.
All right, son, if you must.
I shouldn't have gone away. I sinned against you and against God. I'm not worthy to be called your son.
But you are my son.
I came back to ask you for a job. A job as one of your servants.
A servant? You?
Hire me as a servant, Father. Treat me as a servant and I will be happy.
But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger, and shoes upon his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For my son, which was dead, is alive. He was lost, and is found." And they began to be merry. Now his eldest son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants, and asked what these things meant.
What's all the music and dancing up at the house?
Your brother Gus has returned home, master.
They're celebrating his return?
Yes, master.
What? They never celebrated for me.
Yes, master.
All I've done is work. Work and work some more. Do I get thanks for it? I do not. Yet the
Be
minute...
Be careful, master. Your father's coming.
Yes, so I see.
I'm glad you're back from the fields, Cornelius. Your brother's home.
Well, he should have stayed away.
Why, Cornelius, is that the way to greet your long-lost brother?
Huh. You never killed a fatted calf for me, or gave me a party, and I've been with you all these years. I've worked hard, faithfully, never once disobeyed you. And what has Gus done? Ran away from home, made trouble. That's all he's ever done. Yet the second he shows up, you throw a great feast in his honor.
And he said unto his son, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found."
Back to my father and home. Back to my father and home. I will arise and go. Back to my father.
rise and go. Oh, how deeply our Father in heaven must long for his wayward children here on earth to come to themselves and say, I will arise and go. What a glorious homecoming awaits those who leave the glimmer and the glitter of worldly pleasures and go home. Hebrews 2:10 says, For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering.
In shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the water's cold flow bears the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long.
You know, folks, when I was in Korea, freezing in a foxhole, pushing through mud and snow, being shot at, enduring the hardships of combat, how I longed for the peace and quiet and comfort of the old homestead by the side of the road. What a wonderful day it was when, at last, I actually got off the bus, and there it was, the haven of rest and comfort I had dreamed about during those awful months in Korea. Here on earth, we are in the combat zone of the universal controversy between good and evil. Someday soon, we will go home. That perfect paradise home, where sin and sorrow and pain and death have been forever banished. Then, we will look back and thank the captain of our salvation for making us perfect through suffering.
Blessed book, precious book, on thy dear old tear-stained leaves I love to look. Thou art sweeter day by day as I walk the narrow way that leads at last to that bright home.